have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what's been wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. When God created man in his image, he gave the power and authority to him. Because we've been raised by women, they know not what they do, keeping man away from God. And until man realized that he has that woman nature that has been imposed upon him by mama, he has that woman nature that has been imposed upon him by mama, he can repent. He can repent by forgiving. He can repent. And God will change his nature. When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. When man changed, then our family would change.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-773-7733. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse. And my biblical question, a doozy. How will you know when you're of truth? How will you know when you're of truth? An amazing question. It really is. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about and doing whatever it is you're doing and you don't have time to just sit and watch the show, even though you would like to, you're like, well, I'm a podcast. I got a podcast. You don't have to miss a moment. You can podcast and still listen to the show on your iPhone or iPad, and it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. You can listen to the show by calling the Listen Line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bun JLP Cash App. Bun JLP Cash App. Manhood Hours coming up in the third hour today. It is Wednesday. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Amazing, huh? Amazing. There is a line open. You want to jump in? Yes. 888-877-5377. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. So I have a question for my S-Phrase this morning. And I was thinking about this, reflecting on it. And I wanted to ask my experts about it. Do I want to ask Derek? He black. I may want to ask Derek too. He black. My other expert, my producer. Derek, come here for a minute. And it just occurred to me to ask them this, folks. And when I ask them, of course, I'm asking you as well. But they are experts. So, you know, everybody loves the experts. And just hold on, Derek, and come back out and get your calls in a minute. The phone is picking your calls up, but just hold on. Derek is from the old school. He dressed up like they used to do in the good old days, and it's so amazing to see it dressed up. So to my far right is the host of the American Anchor Baby show and one of the experts here on JesseLeePeterson.com. And his show is Monday through Friday from 11 to 1 p.m., except on Friday at 12. Pacific time, right after the Hake Report. And right in front of me is the producer of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show and the an expert here on the show as well. Country boy.
Howdy.
Is it on? There we go. Howdy.
Looking and dressed like the good old day, huh? Remember we used to dress up like that?
Black Clark Kent.
That's it. I'm not saving nobody.
And then an expert here on the Jesse Peterson Show. And the Hake Report, the host of the Hake Report, every day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, from 9 to 11, right after my show, the amazing show, and an expert here on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. So my question, and I'll start with Derek, is what will happen to you if you stop being successful, trying to be successful or being successful, what would happen to you?
If I stop being successful, well, I got to approach this from the mindset that I am successful.
Right.
So if I was to stop being successful, I mean, I just pick up from where I am. And I just pick up from where I am and focus on one thing at a time. And I think I'd get back into that realm of success in a matter of time.
Are you successful?
Yes.
And what would happen to you if you were not successful?
I'd pick up from wherever I am. Wherever I've fallen short.
What does that mean?
So success to me right now would just be, it's pretty much just financial success, relationship stuff I don't really care about.
What is financial success?
A nice stock portfolio, assets, stuff like that. That's like really, as a man, that's like the only thing I really care about.
Oh, okay. It's what, financial success?
Yeah.
That's the only thing you care about?
Yeah, I mean, relationships, they're cool, but I know how people are, and they're pretty evil, so I don't really care about that. I only really care about my connection with God, so it's just God and my stock portfolio. That's kind of wicked, but I don't care.
Are you successful, Hake, of the Hake Report?
Am I successful?
Right.
I'm hit and miss.
What does that mean?
Meaning sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not successful.
What would happen if you stopped being successful or even trying to be successful? What would happen to you?
I don't know. Maybe I would be a little bit more normal. Maybe I would become more successful, actually.
What is more successful?
More successful would be like I would function better overall. It's kind of like you try not to be late, but you're unsuccessful at that. Poor. Can you move the thing?
I'll just sit up. Yeah. I'll just sit
can you
up.
Move what?
No, he fixed it.
Oh. You started saying poor Derek?
Yeah, poor Derek.
How come white people always say poor black?
Because we feel sorry for you guys.
They should. They put us in this situation. Systemic racism is a thing.
Oh. You know how you...
I'm laughing a little too hard. Really.
But honestly, like...
I'm laughing so hard.
You try not to be late, right?
No.
Well, you claim that you try not to be late.
Right.
And just you claiming that makes you late. I sometimes think I don't want to. I want to do this. I don't want to do this. I want to do this and that. And as the Jews rightly say, man plans, God laughs.
Amazing.
So I feel like some of that.
And so, are you successful?
No.
You're not successful. Mm-mm. And you try to be successful?
Sometimes. Why are you laughing?
Do you succeed at it?
More often I succeed at just not necessarily trying to be successful, but just showing up.
And what would happen if you didn't try to be successful at all? What would happen to you?
I think I'd be fine. I feel like I'd be fine.
So if that's
maybe even finer.
Why do you feel that way? And if you feel that way, why don't you stop trying to be successful?
It's tempting to try to be successful sometimes.
It's what?
Or I just get tempting.
So I'm confused. So you do try to be successful.
Yeah.
And sometimes you are successful.
Right.
And you said if you didn't try to be successful, what would happen?
I'd be successful. I feel like I would be more successful.
So why don't you do that then? Stop trying to be successful.
You're right.
No, that was a question.
So like having answers to the test and putting the right answers, but just guessing wrong.
I don't know. It's like a compulsion sometimes.
What is?
To try to be successful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's why you won't stop.
Yeah, I think that there's like, I think that it's like a pride or a fear or some attachment.
A fear of what?
Of, a fear of looking dumb, failing.
Anchor Baby, another expert and the host of the American Anchor Baby at 11 a.m. Pacific time to 1 Monday through Friday. Are you successful?
I got to give you the sometimes.
And what?
At times.
And how are you successful sometimes?
You said how?
Uh-huh.
At the things I set out to do. At times I'm successful. At times I have found some success. Other times, not.
What would happen if you stopped trying to be successful at all? What would happen to you?
Honestly, just how I'm thinking about that.
Right.
It seems to me like I would maybe even fail even more. Honestly, just like if I'm honest, like for example, I'm trying to look smacks right now because like I'm on the camera.
You try what?
Look smacks.
What does that mean?
Maximize his looks.
Right. So we're trying to get dressed like Derek. Right. It matters a little bit in its own way. Right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to succeed. Right. So you get the hair long like a movie star, you know?
Oh, okay.
You got to set your clothes out the night before, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah, I got to get to succeed in
it. And borrow an iron.
It's tricky.
That's it. You got to borrow an iron.
Oh, buy one.
Well, hold on. I've got an iron.
We can.
But,
agree with that. Calm down.
So what would happen to you feel if you didn't try at all to be successful? What would happen to you?
I might even, it seems to me like the way I operate, I think if I'm honest, it seems like I would lose what I even have, what little I have.
Oh, and so you do try to be successful, and sometimes you succeed, mm-hmm. but if you didn't try at all, you believe you would lose what you already have?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Where did you get the idea from, Derek, that you need to be successful?
My parents first, and then my peers. Those are like the main two, my parents and my peers. And by watching them and seeing how people respond to them, I've noticed that people who are financially successful, and I'm speaking on like a worldly perspective of success, though I know spiritually I'm successful because, you know, Jesus didn't fail. He died on the cross, saved us all. But as far as, like, this worldly thing goes, that's what I'm really speaking on, because, like, that's the thing I wake up and I kind of face every day. That's the demon I get stabbed by every day.
And so you got this idea from your parents that you could be successful or you should be successful?
Yeah.
And your peers?
Right.
Are your parents and peers successful?
Are my parents and peers successful? Sort of, not really. Not where I want to be, but that's kind of where I got the idea from. Just based off how they live and how people treat them,
right.
Compared to how I see people who are successful and how they're treated. You know, and you could say I'm chasing that type of treatment, but honestly, it looks easier to live that. It looks like an easier life, I'd say it like that. Yeah, let me just keep it simple.
Where'd you get the idea from, James, that you need to be successful or try to be successful?
Well, school, sports, and the internet.
They haven't always had the internet, buddy.
Well, I know, but the internet pushes the idea a lot, oftentimes.
And the sports and your parents and all the are they successful?
I didn't say my parents.
I mean, but your parents are not successful?
They are, but they didn't really push that idea on me.
Oh, they didn't? So you got them from school,
yeah.
Sports, and the internet.
Right.
So growing up, the schools and sports taught you to be successful.
Right.
Oh, I got
We're
you.
The best.
Of what?
Excellence. Beats me. But they would always say we're the best.
And do you know anyone who is successful?
In some ways.
Who?
Yeah. My parents.
And how they succeed without going to their person.
Who? Nick?
Yeah.
Nick. The anchor, baby.
Uh-huh.
Right on. How are they successful?
They live healthy, wealthy, and wise lives.
But
healthy, wealthy,
all,
and wise.
That's how all white people live.
Early to bed and early to rise.
That's how all white people like that.
I know. That's why all white people are so successful. Except me.
What?
Hey, baby, where did you get the idea that you need to be successful or become successful?
Everywhere. It seems to be from the... I got the impression, even before I think it was said, it was just, you got to do something. You got to get something, go somewhere, be something.
And you got that from where?
I'm trying to remember as early as I can, but it has to have been really young in school, everywhere. I mean, they ask you, what do you want to be? I think that's where I got it from.
Yeah, I'll say high school pushed it more than elementary or junior high.
Yeah, high school for sure.
Yeah, high school, they're like pushing the college and career and stuff like that, but more college.
What?
And family. And family? I remember really, I'm trying to remember, how young was I? I was quite young. My mom was like, doesn't matter what you do, but you remember, you have to be something. You have to become something. I forget how to put it, like professional or something.
And the people who taught you to be...
Except in Spanish.
The people who taught you to become successful...
To this, they probably can't say it in English. Sorry, what?
The people who taught you to become successful, are they successful?
Some of them seem to have some of the success that I think about.
That's deep.
Some of it.
What?
They seem to have some of the success. Some success. Just like me.
Okay.
Right.
Quick question, then we got to move on. Derek.
Yeah.
When you think about you, who are you thinking about?
This fleshly form, my spiritual self. I had to remind myself to stay spiritual, meaning focus on the not me.
When you're thinking about you, who are you thinking about?
When I think about me, I think about just the person you see in front of you. I kind of take myself out of my first person self and kind of look at it from like a third person perspective. So the Derek that you see with this tie on.
So when you're thinking about you, who are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about myself. I'm thinking about my attributes, assets, things like that, the things that make me me.
When you think about you, James, who are you thinking about?
How I've been and how I will be. What? It's true. And it's so deep.
So when you think about you, who are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about... I'm not necessarily... I'm not necessarily thinking about a who. I'm thinking about a what. I'm thinking about what I've done, what I'm going to do, and how that stuff.
So do you think about you?
Yeah, all the time.
And who are you thinking about when you think about you?
My ideas.
Nick, when you think about you, who are you thinking about?
The guy that was thinking somebody said something to me yesterday, the guy who's, you know, that still exists for me. I don't know how to put it. Just the guy who's here thinking and wanting stuff. And I'll think something today and I'll think I'll still want it tomorrow. How do I put this? I'm this. I don't know how to put it. I really don't know. Who am I, right? But when
do
I'm
you
thinking
think about
me,
you?
Yeah, yeah. But when I'm thinking about me.
Do you think
yeah,
about
I do.
So you do think about you?
I do.
And when you're thinking about you, who are you thinking about?
Yeah, this person who is thinking has plans. I got plans. I think about my plans from yesterday and make sure that are they happening today. Try to make it happen for tomorrow. When I'm thinking about it, right? Like for real. When I'm thinking about me.
He said for real.
Yeah, because we could be like, oh, what's up, guys? I have no ego. But if I'm sitting around thinking about me, I'm thinking about those things.
So when you think about you, you think about things?
Yeah.
Okay. So like Jamie, you're doing the same thing, right?
Yeah.
When you think about you, you think about things.
Mm-hmm.
Materialistic.
What would happen there if you never thought of you again?
If I never thought of me again. All right, I've heard this question before, but come on. It's hitting a little different this morning.
If you never thought about you again, what would happen to you?
If I never thought about me again. All right. Biblically speaking, I'd probably, things will be added onto me.
What?
Things will be added onto me. So
what would that mean?
Whatever I needed, maybe whatever I desired would just be added onto me. So if I didn't think about myself.
If you never thought about you again, what would happen to you?
He doesn't cuss, even though it sounded like he was about to.
I know. And the Democrats doing a lot of cursing out there.
Yeah. I saw that.
Everybody cursing.
Yeah.
They're like insane.
I've never heard a cuss word escape his lips.
Me either. Not one.
Yeah.
He respects all of his elders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's because he's from Memphis. Everybody's respectful in Memphis. If they have any sense.
So if you never thought.
Okay. If I never thought.
If you never. If you stop thinking about you, what would happen to you?
I mean, from a spiritual view, I'd be free. From like a worldly view, I'd look like a homeless guy if I stopped thinking about myself. I'd grow out my, you know, facial hair. I wouldn't get a haircut. I'd just stop thinking about myself. I'd look sort of nasty.
And so because of time, if you stop thinking about you, yeah, what would happen?
Spiritually, I'd be free. Worldly, physically, I'd look homeless. That's your answer.
Hey, if you stop thinking about you, what would happen to you?
I'd probably get healthier and wealthier and wiser, I feel like.
How about you, Anchor Baby? If you stop thinking about you, what would happen to you?
I have a similar suspicion that if I stop thinking about me too much, it would be the things I'm thinking about would work out a little bit better.
Amazing.
That's it?
Okay.
Oh, that was it?
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, amazing. 888, my answer is full. Amazing. Smart guys. That's why they work for Barr. Amazing. 888-77-5-3-7-7-3. 888-77-JESS. And the reason I asked these questions this morning to my experts, some of you know I counsel every day and around the world, individual and family counseling by phone, Skype, or walk-in. And if you want a counseling appointment, you can go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com, or call 800-411-2663. And I ask these questions because when I counsel, everyone has the same problem about these things. They all have an issue with men and women. It doesn't matter where they're from, how successful they are or not. They have a very serious issue about thinking about themselves and about trying to become successful. And then some of them have become, quote-unquote, successful, but it's not enough. It's not enough. It's just the more they get, the more they want. 888-7753-773. A quick break. Back in a moment. So I asked the question, are you better than a child molester? I've discovered over the 30 years of counseling, the one thing that's missing, the one thing that's missing And I think because it's not taught in the homes or talked about, we don't have examples of it, right? Is love. Our theme this year is to bring back Christianity, to love God with all of our heart, soul, and might, our neighbor as ourselves, and to endure. And there, when you're in a fallen state, people will judge the molester but think they're better than the molester. And I ask, well, why do you think you're better? What I realize, it doesn't matter what you think about yourself or how much you have or don't have or how you accomplish things in life or don't. If you have no love, you have nothing. Amazing. 888-775-3773. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. Right after my show. The Hake, H-A-K-E Report.com. And from 9 to 11. And after the Hake Report, the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby at 11 a.m. From 11 to 1 p.m. Check them out. They both are amazing. You don't want to miss it. And for personal shout out. And by the way, shout out White History Month. Happy White History Month. July is White History Month and will always be White History Month. So happy White History Month. So the Anchor Baby is at 11 to 1, and you don't want to miss it. Oh, I know what I'm doing. Personal shout out. Birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, congratulations. Happy White History Month. Whatever your shout out is, I will do them for you. Go to Cameo, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. And then, I think that's it for now. I mentioned to you that crime is out of control in L.A. Carrie Bass and Gavin Newsom can care less about that. You saw Karen and Newsom being upset that the great white hope, Donald Trump, is bringing in National Guards and others in order to protect the American citizen. And they don't want it to happen. Bass, the so-called mayor of L.A., and the so-called governor of California, they don't want it to happen. They're like, tick. That the president is doing anything to deter or stop crime. Isn't that amazing? And Carrie Bass and Newsom have done nothing but help to create crime. They helped to create it, and they don't want it to stop. And this is out of control. ABC 7 is reporting at least 30 people were injured after a car plowed through a crowd early Saturday in East Hollywood. The driver was pulled from the vehicle and shot after the crash. This is according to the authority. Here's ABC 7.
He just smacked everybody, bro.
Chaos, panic, and confusion. A man deliberately plowing his car into a crowd of people in Los Angeles early Saturday morning, according to police.
We are investigating this as an intentional act, and he is being looked as a suspect.
30 injured, and tonight, 7 still in critical condition. The victims were exiting the Vermont Hollywood nightclub and were gathered on a sidewalk near a taco stand. After this Nissan Versa slammed into the crowd, bystanders were able to pull the driver out.
They shot him.
Police say the driver was then shot by someone there. the focus turning to the injured, most in their 20s and 30s.
Two sources familiar telling us the suspect got kicked out of this club for being intoxicated and disruptive. He then drove past the club to that intersection, made a U-turn, jumped the curb, and drove through this sidewalk.
Amazing, huh? And every human being is capable of that. There's not one that's not capable of doing that. And the reason is, except for those who are working on overcoming anger, all angry people are insane people, mentally ill. And they're capable of doing that. You gotta, do what you want. But you should understand that anger is evil. And anger makes you want to fight others. It makes you want to fight with yourself and fight others. Isn't it insane to want to fight with someone? Think about that. You want to fight with someone. That's insane. That's insanity. And all angry people are mentally ill. Insane. And you don't have to be that way. You can drop the anger and never be angry again. And you will see that there's never a reason to be angry. There's nothing that can happen to you on this earth that should or would make you angry if you ever drop it. And you can drop it. You don't have to live a life of anger. Angry people are murderers, according to God. Angry people are murderers. That's because they're evil. The nature of anger is evil. Because it separates you from God, and the spirit of evil, Satan, is your God. Whether you admit it or not, want it or not, accept it or not, it's the truth. And you're mentally insane, and you have no peace. And yet, you push anger as, oh, it's just another human emotion, you say. Think about that. Isn't that crazy? You got to be insane to think that is normal. The people who have been, a guy who was accused, that's from NBC News, by the way, and the guy that were accused of doing that, insane, got angry, and look what happened. Snapped. If you have to be married or have children, married or not, have children, look how you treat your own children. Angry people set their own children up to fail in life by telling them, oh, you need to be successful. And then they define what success is. You need to go to college. You need to go to school. You need to make A's in schools. And then you need to go to the best college, best university in the country. And then you need to get married. And then you need to have children. And then you need to be this and be that. They set you up to fail in life because they're angry and they have failed. And generation after generation after generation go through life trying to be successful. Think about that. You are insane if you're trying to be successful. If you're trying to be successful, why can't you just be satisfied with a glass of water and a piece of cornbread? Why can't you be satisfied with a little one-bedroom, a one-bachelor apartment if you had an apartment? Why you cannot be satisfied with wherever you are with what you have? You sit in your room and you think you need more in order to have perfect peace. And then you go for more and you get more and then you still don't have peace. And now you think, oh, I need to get more. I need to be more successful. I need to think about tomorrow. And there's nothing wrong with being successful. But you should not get any form of identity from it at all. You got a big house? You got a big house. But you're not the big house. And if the big house is here today and gone tomorrow, oh well. But if you see it as success, then you're going to have trouble. You're going to cry. And you're going to do whatever it takes not to lose that house, because you will lose yourself. You're out of your mind being angry. You're out of your mind having to fight or even think about fighting with someone verbally or physically. And I know you, nowadays you got to protect yourself. I'm not saying that. But you're out of your mind trying to fight. And you're fighting with other evil people. Why not choose perfect peace instead of insanity? Why not drop your anger? And why not drop all the ideas that you've been given growing up? No one is able to live up to that. The richest men in the world still don't have peace. 30 people were injured. And it sounded like this guy, according to the report, I don't know, got angry about something. And can't you see him driving down the road? And all of a sudden, Satan said, they embarrass you. And just turn around and ran through the crowds. How many times you have attacked people or a person because you had a thought? Reportedly, this guy was kicked out of a club. And say he's driving down the road, and Satan said, you know what, they can't do you that way. You might as well drive down that sidewalk, allegedly, and destroy everybody you can. A line of people waiting at the club. And you say anger is good. What other quick story? NBC News. An off-duty custom and Border Patrol agent was shot in New York City, Riverside Park. In New York City, Riverside Park on Saturday, an alleged robbery that did not appear to target him because of his job. Why is this from ABC 7?
Well, the Trump administration, as you said, is blaming Mayor Adams and New York's sanctuary city laws. Mayor Adams, for his part, is blaming bail reform. What is clear is that both young men, as you said, have lengthy criminal histories and documentation, deportation orders that were issued months, even years ago. Immigration enforcement on the streets of New York is being stepped up tonight after a promise from Trump administration border czar Tom Homan.
We're going to flood the zone. You don't want to let us into jail to arrest a bad guy in the safety and security of a jail. You want to release him into the street, which makes it unsafe for the community. Anything can happen on a street arrest.
The crackdown sparked by Saturday night's shooting. Two men on a moped roll up on a couple on the shores of the Hudson. One man approaches them with a gun. The victim, an off-duty customs officer, draws his gun and the suspect opens fire. In the shootout, both men are wounded. The gunman and his accomplice take off into the night. One drops the other at a Bronx hospital, and both are later arrested. They are undocumented migrants from the Dominican Republic. The suspected gunman, Miguel Francisco Mora Nunez, was ordered deported in November of 2024, but has a series of prior arrests, including a warrant for armed robbery in Massachusetts. The alleged accomplice, Christian Ibar Baroa, was ordered deported in January of 2023. He, too, has prior arrests, but was released in June after a guilty.
Amazing, huh? And the Democrats fight to keep these people in your country for the vote. Why not just drop your anger and be free? Stop believing the lie that anger is a human emotion and is normal. It's definitely a human emotion, but it's evil. You can have peace, folks, if you want it. You got to work on you. 888-7753-773. If every human being dropped their anger right now, there would be no more wars. There would be no more anything based on color or anything. Chris is out of Texas. Chris, you are on the air. Hey, Chris.
Oh, hello. Could you please get back to me? I got you on speaker. Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Chris. 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. So Chris will call back when he's ready. Why not be free, folks? And every human being is suffering in the same way. Everybody has the same problem. Some situations are different, but they all have the same problem, anger. The Spirit of Truth came that you might have peace and perfect peace. But you have decided that you, and because you've been lied to, really, that's the only reason you have made the decision that you're going to stay with anger, because you've been lied to all of your life, and you've seen it in your parents and everyone, and you think, well, everybody's angry. No one has perfect peace. You can't have perfect peace on earth. What a sad way to live. And so you have decided that you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life. You're going to live a life of misery, and you can bank on this. There's not one person on earth with anger, and they are not miserable. They cry at night. Oh, they may not cry tears, but they cry in their imagination with fear, loneliness, something is missing, don't have enough, want this or want that, believing that if they did this or that, they're going to feel better. And when they do this or that, then they don't feel better. And then they try some more, something else. And we have a lot of problems in our country now, my country, because anger, even in the Christian world. In the Christian world, you cannot find one person that has perfect peace. Think about that. And they have claimed to know Jesus. They have confessed Jesus. Oh, but you can't have perfect peace. No one has perfect peace, they say. So it's based on if someone else has it or not, in their minds, that they can have it. 888-7753-773. Let me go to North Carolina and talk to first-time caller, Paulo, you're on the air.
Hello, Jeff. It's my first time calling and first time watching it live. I would like to ask you a question about judging versus holding an opinion. I've been practicing what you telling about not judging, and I try to keep my thoughts still and quiet and not be actively judging. But for example, I see that you have strong opinions because you adhere to the truth. So what's the difference between having an opinion and not be judging all the time? I've been struggling with that.
Well, anyone that has opinion is judging. And if you're judging, you have opinion. Your opinion, you're judging, because there's no such thing as having your own opinion. You're either influenced by evil, and your thinking is coming from that, or you're influenced by good, and your thinking is coming from that, and you have no opinion about it at all. So if you have opinion, okay, it's because you're judging.
Okay. So, for example, I watch your show, and I really like what you say about black people. For example, black people are their enemy against their own black people because of the way they think and all that. And I believe that should be the truth. That's not judging. Is that not an opinion? I've been struggling finding that distinction. Maybe
if you see it you can see that it's true, then it's true. And it's not your opinion. It is a fact.
Okay.
And it is a fact that no. Most black people are angry and they're out of control. And they believe it's because of the white man or some outer situation. And they are not able to see that it's inside of themselves and it came from their mothers. And they're not able to overcome because they have been told it's somebody or something else. And it's just not true. So that's a fact. And you can see that without having an opinion about it, judging it or anything. It's just it's reality. It's true.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, my question has been answered. I see. Yeah. Adhere to the facts, to the truth, and not opinions or judgments, but just seek for the truth.
Absolutely. Have you overcome your anger?
I think I'm 90% there. I'm getting there, Jess.
It's Jesse.
Jesse. I'm getting there, Jesse.
And why not?
I'm really getting there.
Why not just drop it now?
I will.
Why haven't you?
No, nothing's stopping me. It's been a while that I have not been feeling anger. Okay. I think that's why your message resonates with me so much, because I'm not angry in general. Or when I do get angry, I never act on that.
Amazing. Well, you stay with it. I appreciate it, Paula.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, buddy. 888-775-3773. Super chat.
Over on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, Eric, oh no, I already read that one. Sion says, hey, Jesse, love. Hank, Speedy Gonzalez, and Derek, good morning. Yes, my surgery is coming soon. I will call you because I need to earlier about my fear about it. I love you. Keep drinking water and sometimes drink electrolytes like Gatorade.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. I appreciate that. I wish you well with the surgery.
Pastor Chatelet on Rumble with the Rumble Rant. Chirp chain, ayo, replace your battery and your smoke detector, yo. If the battery low, you got to go to the stove. Smoke detectors is cool.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Chatelet.
Yeah.
Uncle Ruckus boobies. Oh. Thank you, Uncle Ruckus, with a ghost emoji.
Thank you.
And Gregatron, I'm here for some truth. I see you got video ads now, says Gregatron.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Dominic May bought a coffee.
Thank you,
sir. No
nice.
Message. Uncle Ruckus, the moon don't spin and neither does the earth, says Uncle Ruckus.
It goes around the earth.
Yep.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Indeed. Pleaded guilty.
So if the moon go around the earth, how come the flat earthers think the earth is flat? If it's going around the earth, they sit up and down the earth.
They lack sense. Shout out.
Shout out. I mean,
ALL Production pleaded guilty to suspended license and resisting arrest. Is that referring to the guy who got punched in the face by the cop? I don't know.
Thank you. I got to take a break.
We'll read the rest later, guys. Thank you all.
888-775-3773. Quick break. Hate news, not the fake news. I'll be back.
You get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father. And I returned to my father. And through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
There's some serious mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour one already of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Wednesday, July 23rd, AD 2025. There is one line open. You can call in right now, even during Hake News, Not Fake News. And JLP will be right back to your calls in hour two, as well as more great stories. And we'll get to the rest of your super chats, I hope and pray and am sure. Commie Nonsense Network CNN reports in February. By the way, today is Wednesday, and Wednesday, 2 p.m. Pacific time, 4 Central, 5 Eastern. We have Punchy TV Live with the experts, JLP's experts. So make sure you do subscribe to Punchy TV on YouTube and check it out. All right, Punchy TV on YouTube. And it's P-U-N-C-H-I-E, no Y in Punchy TV. Commie Nonsense Network CNN reports in February, our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, made an aggressive push to reshape the Kennedy Center by firing its so-called leader, naming a longtime confidant as interim executive director, and dismissing board members appointed by Democrats, and then appointing his own trustees, who promptly elected him as chair. Now House Republicans are trying to name the Performing Arts Center's Opera House after First Lady Melania Trump. Isn't that wonderful? Finally, decent people in the arts. I think the Kennedy Center is about art or performance. Anyway, lawmaker security. The House of Representatives is increasing funding and resources for lawmakers to provide them with additional security options. The pilot program is meant to assist lawmakers returning to their districts for the 5-week recess. It was created following the deadly attack on Minnesota state lawmakers in June. Remember those assassinations? According to a release from the Committee on the House Administration, House members will receive $20,000 to increase the security of their homes. An additional $5,000 per month will be dispersed to each lawmaker to pay for personal security through the end of the year. In 2024, the U.S. Capitol Police investigated more than 9,000 threats against lawmakers, marking an 83% increase from the previous year. These Democrats out of control, and even some of the Republicans. It's terrible. During the same period, our greatest president, Trump, was targeted in 2 apparent assassination attempts. And they call it apparent. Anyway, that's crazy, huh? Out of control. Divide and conquer. Push anger. It's good for the country. Not. Anyway, Gaza, the humanitarian crisis in Gaza has only worsened since Israel launched its blockade of aid last month, leaving millions of Palestinians facing starvation, they say. Now a coalition of international organizations say the blockade is endangering the lives of doctors and aid workers. In a joint statement, more than 100 humanitarian, meaning the scum of the earth, groups called on Israel to restore the full flow of food, clean water, and medical supplies to Gaza and agree to a ceasefire. Wow, taking sides. The coalition warned that supplies were totally depleted and that their organizations were witnessing their own colleagues and partners waste away before their eyes. International news agency AFP, Agence France-Presse, I'm butchering it, so pardon my French, also announced plans to try and evacuate their remaining freelance staff from Gaza because they too are starving and they're too weak to work. Even the media can't eat. Anyway, without immediate intervention, the last reporters in Gaza will die, said AFP, the main journalist union, in a statement. What a mess. Crazy, huh? And the Texas floods. Meanwhile, in America, Texas lawmakers hold a special hearing today to investigate the state's response to the deadly flash floods that hit over the 4th of July weekend. Remember that? At least 135 people were killed in central Texas, including more than 100 in Kerr County, K-E-R-R, where the children's camps and RV parks were. Crazy. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP, hour two.
It's why history must remove.
late with my friends. It's what history marks. So be sure to tell everyone. There will always be different months to celebrate. This one's gonna be white history.
It's white
history month. And I'm gonna celebrate America. It's white history month. And I'm gonna scream it to everyone. There will always be different months to celebrate. This month's gonna be white history.
Happy White History Month. July is White History Month. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. You can get involved by calling 888-773-773-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question on Tuesday, how will you know when you are of truth? How will you know when you are of truth? How will you know when you are of truth? I will know when we get to sign up. How will you know when you're of truth? Amazing question. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, working out, or doing whatever it is you're doing, and you just can't sit and watch the show, we are heard around the world Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time. So a lot of people in different time zones doing different things, so they have the podcast. But you can be listening on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bun JLP Cash App. My bad. Bun JLP Cash App. Manhood Hours coming up in the next hour. I'll get to your calls here in a minute. Super Chat, I have a guest. I have with me Mitchell Hooper. And some of you may know Mitchell Hooper. Mitchell is a Canadian strongman. A Canadian strongman. And in 2023, he became the first Canadian to win worldwide strongest man. Think about that. He became the first Canadian to win world strongest man. He also won the Arnold Classic three times, 2023 through 2025. And is the only man to hold all four major strongman titles at once. Amazing, huh? Mitchell, welcome to the show and happy White History Month.
Thank you, Jesse. Is this July? July is White History Month.
July is White History Month.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you very much.
And July feels white. Amazing.
How are you?
All is well. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
So, in 2023, you became Canadian's strongest man. What does that mean, and how did that happen?
I won World's Strongest Man in 2023. How does it happen? Well, I got I got interested in it because I was doing my master's in clinical exercise physiology, and I'd always been active. So I thought, if I'm going to ask people to do something, I have to do that same thing. So first was losing weight, and I did a bodybuilding show. And then next was getting fit, and I ran marathons. And the next thing was getting strong. And those are really the three things that you have to do to be healthy. And all of those things, I just wanted to compete because that's naturally who I am. And then one thing happened after another. COVID happened, and I got invited to World's Strongest Man on a whole bunch of Instagram videos and local competitions, really. And then my first World's Strongest Man, I came eighth. The next year, I won.
Amazing. And what did that do for your ego to know? And how old were you at the time?
I would have been 26 when I won World's Strongest Man.
So what did that do for your ego to know that you're the strongest man in the world?
It's probably the opposite effect than you might think. I mean, it's really cool to be able to say that and to hold the title. But it's sort of, I don't know. I think ego is probably when you're less sure of yourself and you need to portray that you're sure of yourself to other people. And if you're the strongest man in the world, if someone asks me if I can lift something, you have the confidence that either you can or nobody can. And the ego became much less a part of my life after that, I think.
Amazing. And so are you still the strongest man in the world?
I would be the number one strong man in the world. I didn't win World's Strongest Man this year, but of our last 14 major shows, I've won 11 of them. So yeah, I would be the best strongman in the world. Now, that is the best at the sport of strongman. It's a bit ambiguous who is the strongest. There's a variety of sports that test strength. But yeah, number one strongman in the world.
What's important to you?
Generally speaking?
Yeah, what's important to you?
First thing that's important to me is my daughter. She's 18 months old. I have another daughter on the way, so that's the highest priority always. Taking care of my family and the people who work for me is right up there as well. Leaving the world a better place than I found it is right up there as well. And strength falls considerably down that list. Strength is just a medium by which I can accomplish these things.
And why did you decide to get married and have children?
Look, I think it's a travesty. People who don't pursue having a family, it's becoming rife in my generation, younger generations, that they feel like they don't need to have kids. But ultimately, every species, our objective is just to eat and have children. That's basically all you're to do when you boil it down. So I think, what do I want my life to look like at 50, 60, 70, and without children and without family, what's the point?
But families don't work, right?
What do you mean by that?
All families are screwed up. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, a lot of families are screwed up. Everyone's got their problems. But
have you ever met a family that were not screwed up?
If you don't want problems with people, then you're probably best speaking to nobody.
Amazing. Yeah. Does your wife obey you?
I wouldn't characterize it like that. Can you define obey?
Does your wife obey you?
Define obey.
Right. Does she obey you?
Define the word obey that you in the way you're using it right now.
Oh, you want to you don't know the definition to obey?
There's multiple connotations. What do you mean by that? Obey signifies some level of ownership to me.
Why is that?
That's just my experience with the word.
Really? So when I ask, does your wife obey you, your first thought was ownership?
As though I say something and she must do that. That's not how I experience it.
And so why would you think of obey that way when it comes to your wife? In that way, why did that come to mind? So that's not what I was thinking at all. Why did that come to your mind?
Because that's my experience with the word.
Explain what you mean by that.
If I said I obey you to have me on the podcast tomorrow, to me that's a declaration that you must do that. It's an instruction that you and I aren't working together.
Oh, I see. And so is there another kinder a gentle word to express explain, obey?
I don't think it's unkind if it's not being asked in an unkind nature. What would be a better way to say obey? I don't know. I'm not sure. Can you ask the question in a different way? And maybe I could give a different word if you tell me what you mean.
Oh, okay. I will. Does your wife obey you?
Yeah, I asked you to ask the question in a different way.
I don't know how else to ask it.
I don't know how to answer that question.
Oh, okay. Amazing. When you became the first strongest man, when you first became that in 2023, did it allow you to travel and meet a lot of different people? And if so, what was that like for you?
It's probably one of the best parts of being who I am. You know, people think when you have access to people of high profile, like someone like you would, they want to know about what are they really like? And that's the most common question that's asked about a lot of people, including right. myself. And you learn that people are just people ultimately. You make a lot of friends across the world. You learn a lot of different ways of life. And, you know, say I've got friends from Eastern Europe, from South America, from Africa, from all over the place now. And it gives you a much larger appreciation for who people are, how they act, how different varieties of people might interact with you. I think it makes you a lot more resilient. But for me, it's just been a ton of meaningful connections.
Amazing. And are you a successful man? Are you successful?
In certain definitions of the word, I would say yes. In other definitions, no. I'm objectively successful in my sport. I'm objectively successful financially. Objectively successful in business, but there are certainly ways in which I struggle, and I'm pretty open about struggling with my mental health, for example. So I wouldn't say I'm successful in that regard, right. But in a lot of ways, yes, and in some ways, no. But I think that's the point of being a person who strives to be better.
And so, do you strive to be successful?
Yeah, of course.
And what is success to you?
I think ultimate success is joy, and certainly not happiness to me. I think happiness is a very temporary, fleeting emotion, but joy is a sustained feeling of gratitude and of fulfillment in everything that you do.
Do you have perfect peace?
Perfect peace? No, I don't think I do, and I think I struggle with my mental health in that way. I think there, I always wish I could do more. I always wish I was accomplishing more, making a larger impact. I certainly struggle with it.
And why do you wish you could do more or make a more positive impact? Why do you wish for that?
Ultimately, I think the weight of a person is what kind of mark they leave on the world. If you don't leave the world a better place than you found it, you're not a successful person in my eyes. On top of that, I see life as a balance between the good that you do and the bad that you do. And there's a separate scale of the good that's been done to you and the bad that's been done to you. And in my life, I've had so much good done to me that I feel like it's an obligation for me to do a lot more good than the average person. I had a privileged upbringing, and I've always felt like I've got a lot of things that I haven't deserved. And I feel like, okay, use that as a stepping stone to be able to do more.
And how do you leave the world a better place? And do you know anyone who has ever left the world in a better place?
How do you leave the world a better place? I think all you leave behind are the impacts that you make on those around you. And so I think inspiring as many people for me to be healthy in body and in mind, that's very high on my priority list. And that's sort of what got me into this whole space in the first place. So if my personal mission to be able to do that is through health, physical and mental. In terms of people who have left the world a better place, I think there are tons and tons of people who have done that. But I was actually talking yesterday, because it's funny how you think about some of the greatest people in the world and say someone like Gandhi comes to mind, who did some incredible good and some incredible harm. Some people come to mind where they are controversial, and half the people believe they left the world a better place, and half the world thinks that they left the worst place.
Yeah.
Say like someone like a Mother Teresa. It's hard to argue that she didn't make a positive impact on the people in India. She's an example of someone who left the world a better place.
Mother Teresa was a mean, angry woman, female.
She was a mean, angry woman.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's what they say. Is that right? Isn't that amazing?
Right.
So you you mentioned that you have had suicidal thoughts or you attempted suicide.
Yep.
And why did you have those thoughts, and why did you attempt suicide?
I think it's multifactorial. It happens at difficult points in life where you feel like, for me, I'm not giving back what I would hope to. I'm not the person I would hope to be. And I think we all at times are not the people we hope to be. And I take that really hard for whatever reason. Some feelings like people would rather that I'm not around and that the world would be better without me around. those thoughts creep in difficult times.
Amazing. And so how many times did you attempt suicide?
Once when I was about 21.
Amazing. Are you able to say what you did in order to do that?
I went with a rope in my car out to the forest in my university town. I tied a noose through learning how to do it on a video online. And tied it around my neck and ultimately made the decision that I wanted to live. And as punishing as it is to go through the despair, it had a tremendous positive effect on my mental health for the period afterwards, when it wasn't someone else trying to convince me. It wasn't a therapist. It wasn't a conversation. It wasn't a perspective. It was a personal decision when nothing else was stopping me other than, this is not right. I do want to continue to try and to be a better person.
That's amazing. And so you put the rope there and then you decided, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, ultimately it was as simple as that. And I think you hear so many stories of say people jumping off of bridges.
Yeah.
It's near 100% of the time, as soon as their feet leave the bridge, they regret what they've done.
Yeah.
So thankfully my feet hadn't left the proverbial bridge by that stage.
That's amazing. And was this before or after you became the strongest man in the world?
This was before.
That's amazing, man. And so who are you?
That's a great question. Who am I? I think first and foremost right now, I'm a dad. Being a father is the number one thing in my life at the moment. To me, after having a child, it's like everything has changed. So many things matter so much less. Whatever I can do to provide for my family, provide for my daughter, that's my real objective now. So I think it's taking a larger part of my identity. There's layers to it. I'm a strong man. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a social media influencer, if you will. I'm a whole bunch of things, but I would say dad is the title that I'm most proud of.
And so you told me what you own. You have a daughter, you're social media, you're the strongest man in the world, you do that. But who are you? Not what you do and what you own, but who are you?
Yeah, it's probably a question that I struggle with. I wish I had a better answer. I don't think a lot about that. I often go through life thinking about all of the things that I do because it's so consuming. In terms of my identity, unrelated to everyone else, it's probably something that I have to figure out better. It's definitely a struggle. And I know you're a pastor, and I'm very much a non-spiritual person, and this is probably why I fall apart in these broader questions.
Amazing. And what is it like living not knowing who you are?
It's just sort of been brought to my attention right now, so I can't tell you exactly what it's like. But not knowing who you are, I mean, I don't know. I'm not easily influenced by other people. I do have my own self-identity. I could just probably work to be able to describe that better. I wish I had a better answer for you. It's one to think on.
And what would happen to you if you had no self-identity?
You'd be a bit of a you'd be a bit of a tumbleweed in the wind, wouldn't you? You wouldn't have much direction or purpose in your life.
Amazing. Do you create your own thoughts?
I would say more than almost everyone I know. Yeah.
And how do you do that? What are the steps you take to create your own thoughts?
I was really raised this way. I was empowered to be able to think for myself, probably to a detriment to some people's opinion. A lot of teachers and professors and friends. I've always been very headstrong in taking in all information and being able to come up with my own opinions on things. And I think that's the personality you have to have if you're an athlete who's trying to break through barriers, or if you're a someone who's on social media, or if you're a business owner, you have to be different in some way. You have to be unique. It's not something that I have to go through a process. It's just who I am. I'm disagreeable more than I am agreeable when it comes to listening to outside opinion.
Amazing. And so what are the steps you take to create your own thought? Number one, number two, number three steps. What are the steps you take to create your own thoughts?
It's not a step-by-step process. My thoughts are just there. I have always been that way, and I don't have to work to be able to do it. I can't give a takeaway to someone other than a habit is something that's formed over time, in my opinion. If you reinforce that that habit, then great. And I think the best advice I could give to someone else in the area is when you have a thought about something, where did that thought originate? And for most people, they spend their life, I think, parroting what they've heard in the past week from everyone else. And rarely do they actually think that I've had a critical thought about this.
Amazing. And so if your thoughts are already there, why do you think you create them?
Because they're not reflective of the people around me. Sometimes they are, but oftentimes they're not. And oftentimes my thoughts aren't, they're not agreed upon amongst the people who I'm close to. And that's, it doesn't bother me. Sometimes they're completely out of the blue. Sometimes they're, I think if they're not a representation of the people around you or the conversations other people around you have, then they're your thoughts in a way. They might have originated from a video you've seen or some interaction you've had online. But ultimately, I think your own thought means your own interpretation of that. And if you come up with that independently without consultation, then to me, that's your own thought.
And if you create your own thought, why do you create thoughts that make you sad or lonely or angry or have fear, inner fear? Why do you create bad thoughts for yourself?
Yeah, look, I wish I didn't. And it's self-sabotage in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, so if you create your own thoughts, why do you create those thoughts for yourself? If you're in control of them and you're creating these thoughts, why do you create thoughts that make you feel that way about yourself?
I don't know, Jesse, because I think it's on one hand, it's not great. And let's take my personal experience and the negative thoughts that I have more often than any other, which is say depressed and suicidal ideation thoughts. Well, I have those thoughts because I have this fuel in my brain to do a lot and to be enough in my own eyes, if you will. And if I didn't have that thought and that overarching desire, well, I both wouldn't have negative thoughts, but I don't think would have the same drive to do the things that I do.
And so you create bad thoughts so you can have a drive?
Well, not necessarily. I wouldn't say that I control 100% of my thoughts. But, you know, control and creation, I don't think are the same thing when it comes to your thinking process. I create my own thoughts. No one else is telling me the things that I say to myself in dark times, but I create them for myself, but I don't control them. I don't want that to be there. I don't want to be the thought. But my point is, I think if I'm a person who's looking to accomplish a hell of a lot, and you've got these goals to be world champion, well, you're going to have something, you're going to have a bit of a screw loose to be able to do that. And I think the screw loose for me is this innate feeling that you have to do more. And if you're not doing enough, then punishment should be associated. Not a positive thought, not one that I want, but one that I think goes hand in hand. This is just to me, it's a consequence in a way of being someone who accomplishes something great externally. Everyone else can see it, but I think there's a price to pay for everything.
So I'm black and I'm slow, so I may be missing it. Are you saying that if you did not create bad thoughts for yourself that bring fear or doubt or loneliness, suicidal thought, are you saying if you did not create those thoughts for yourself, you would not be successful in life?
No, close. But I think if I didn't have the innate drive and the put such a high importance on doing a lot, then I both wouldn't have the drive and I wouldn't have the negative thoughts, because I ultimately would care substantially less. But to me, being a world champion is a way over the top positive dream, and suicidal ideation is a big way over the top negative, I suppose aspiration might be the wrong word, but you've got these two negative things. But I just tie such a high level of importance to everything that I do. And if I didn't tie that level of importance, then I would just chill out a lot more. I wouldn't accomplish near what I have.
And do you create good thoughts for yourself?
Yeah, of course.
And
of
how
course.
Do you do that?
Look, sometimes it's just a matter of slowing down. For me, that always creates better thoughts. So if I can slow down and enjoy the moment and get off my phone and get off social media and go for a walk and touch the grass and get in my pool and sit in my hot tub and walk through the forest and hang out with my daughter and hear my daughter laugh, that facilitates me having positive thoughts.
And just for conversation, when you considered suicide and you went to the tree, did you come up with that thought on your own? Let me go and kill myself. Did you create that thought?
No one else was telling me to.
So you created that thought too?
I would have, yeah.
And why would you create a thought to tell you to hang yourself?
Right, so what I said was I both create the thought, but I don't always have control over the thought.
And how did you create that thought? If you can tell me the steps, number one, number two, number three, and number four, what were the steps you created that drove you to the tree?
It's not a thought process that I've gone through, but if we want to work through it, then let's do that. Right. So it would have been a feeling of despair, certainly, a feeling of things will not get better. A feeling that the world would be better without me. And so then considering the processes by which that can be rectified, there are not many ways. There are disappearing forever. There is, in a literal sense, and then there's the suicide side, and that was where my brain went. And then I thought, how could that be done most effectively? And then that is just something that you've seen before or I've seen before on videos online and stuff like that. And, so I thought, okay, well, that's a way that it's been done by other people, and that's took other people's suffering away. So potentially that's an avenue for me as well.
That's amazing. It sounds like the feeling did it, but let me ask, do you have anger?
No.
So you never get angry?
Very rarely.
Do you ever get angry?
I would say on extremely rare occasion, yes.
You do get angry. Can you hold for me? Let me take a quick break. Are you able to hold for me?
Yeah, it's fine.
Quick break, folks. Back in a moment.
Steve, thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show? I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought because you're not your thoughts, if you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free just like that. At an instant, bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing. Okay, folks, welcome back. 888-775-3773. I am talking to the strongest man in the world. So now I got a lot of work to do. What's a brand new episode, by the way, of the FallenState.tv this Friday. If the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. I had an amazing conversation with Garrett McClendon. And he is a former prison gang leader turned sobriety advocate. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
Were you on drugs or alcohol?
I'm both. Even if I want to take a drink, hit, or fix, my mind starts telling me things about me that are untrue and I start believing them. I started stealing, joyriding cars, possession of weapons, methamphetamine, chop shop.
Amazing.
The only way I knew how to function is by drinking and using. I felt like I was at home when I was inside the prison.
Really?
Yeah.
So which did you make first, a boy
girl.
Or a girl?
Girl.
Real men make boys first.
Oh, man. Dang it.
So FallenState.tv, check it out this Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. It was amazing. I want to go back to my guest. I am talking to this, I can't believe it, the strongest man in the whole world. Watch out, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I am talking to Mitchell Hooper. And Mitchell is Canadian, is a Canadian strongest man back in 2023. And a classic win, Arnold Classic, back in 2023 through 2025. Mitchell, do you have a website or anything you want to give out?
Yeah, look, my biggest way to follow me is on YouTube, Mitchell Hooper on YouTube. I'm on Instagram as well. My website is MitchellHooperStrongman.com. That's where you can find a lot about me.
That's amazing. And so I ask about anger. Do you have anger?
As a general emotion, I really don't think I do. But things can make me angry for a transient period of time on rare occasion.
And what would happen if you had no anger at all? What would happen to you if you had no anger, period? There would be nothing on earth that can make you angry. What would life be for you then?
You'd be quite calm, wouldn't you? That would be amazing.
So why don't you drop your anger and have an amazing life? Why not just drop the anger, period, and live with no anger?
I believe because I don't have control over that at times.
You don't?
I don't believe so. I think there's something that, say, gets irritating to you for a certain period of time, and then it becomes a feeling of anger. I believe that's how most people operate.
And how did you become angry? Because you were not born angry. How did you become angry?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't consider myself angry, generally speaking.
Right, but you have the spirit of anger, and you do get angry at times. There are situations that... How did you become angry?
Would you say that you never get angry?
I never get angry.
Literally never?
Never. I used to get angry 35 years ago. I used to get angry, but I overcame anger. So I never, so, thank God, I never get angry at all. Wow. It's not in me.
How did you do that?
I'll tell you that in a minute. That's a good question.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you that.
And so How did I become angry? I think the external pressures and expectations make me angry, not expectations of myself, but expectations that I set on other people to behave a certain way, to do a certain thing. Say like getting cut off in traffic is an example, does not make me angry, but I think it's a good comparison as to why most we get angry. Of like you expect someone to cooperate with you. I might expect, for example, someone to behave in a certain way, or say if I'm doing a meet and greet after a show, I expect people to not give backhanded compliments or accidental insult about something. I expect that of people, and I suppose that expectation is something that makes me frustrated when other people don't live up to it.
Amazing. You were you raised by both parents, your father and mother?
Yes, in separate households. I lived with my mom. They divorced when I was 3.
I got you now. Okay. So are you surprised that you like your mother and that you get angry, you're emotional, you have her personality? Are you surprised you have your mother's identity?
When you put it that way, I suppose you can't speak, can you?
I'm sorry?
When you put it like that, considering that I lived with my mom, I suppose you can't be surprised.
And so what is it like having your mother's identity rather than your own?
I wouldn't consider... I don't know if I would consider myself having my mother's identity.
Your mother get angry. Your mother is emotionally up and down. And you're the same way, and you only became that way because you became like her.
Why would you attribute a couple of attributes to an entire identity?
Because that is, I don't know what you mean by attribute. What does that mean?
So you say being up and down, right, emotionally and having the capacity for anger is me taking my mom's identity. What? I said, why are those two things what you tied the entire identity to?
Well, it's not the entire identity, but it is the leading identity that all human beings have. And it's a big problem in their lives because they have identified with that.
Okay, so emotion and emotional regulation is the leader of identity.
An emotional identity is very dangerous because it is a false identity. But let me ask, and so knowing that you have her personality, now that you know that, what do you think about it?
I don't think it's inaccurate in ways. You know, I don't think people around me would say I'm much like my mom or much like my dad, but I would certainly react to things internally more like my mom than my dad. My dad is extremely calm to a fault. He might not have the capacity to get angry.
Right on. So why don't you have the attitude or the personality of your father rather than your mother?
I think probably because I was exposed to her more, because I lived with her. Because that was my primary influence growing up.
I understand. Amazing. Do you want, if you can overcome anger, if you can just drop it right now and never be angry again and never have your mother's... let me ask this first. Is anger good or evil?
I believe it's evil.
And so, and yet you have that and you think that you need it, right?
Prior to this conversation, I find an innate person of being, innate part of being a human being.
And so if it's evil, why would you have that in you? Because it is evil. Why would you have evil inside of you?
Open to change perspective, for sure. But I believe it's because everybody has evil inside of them.
They do. So why don't you overcome evil?
I would love to. I suppose I haven't because I don't have the strategies to be able to do it.
And so if you knew what to do to overcome evil, would you do it?
Yeah, of course.
Forgive your mother for recreating you in her image and turning you away from your father. And when you forgive her for doing that to you, God will forgive you and take away the spirit of evil and give you perfect peace.
And then there's no evil left.
Not inside of you. It'll be in other people that whom I'm not, those who have not worked on themselves, but it won't be in you. You will have perfect peace. But you got to forgive your mother.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, she recreated you in her image because she's evil, and she did it to you because her mother did it to her, and so on and so on. But if you forgive your mother, then you won't pass that on to your children, and you will have an amazing life. But you got to forgive your mother and forgive your father for not protecting you from your mother. He didn't know how to deal with her because you become attracted to what you hate, and he ended up making a baby with his mama, and he couldn't handle his mama, his wife, because it was his mother. And when he left her. He didn't leave you. He just didn't know how to deal with her. So you got to forgive him for not protecting you from your mother.
And in an active way?
Meaning that once you see that you have that anger toward him or you yearn for him and you realize I'm wrong for being angry at him, he couldn't help himself, just as you can't help yourself, then you will see I'm wrong for anger. Because anyone has anger is judging. And when you judge, you're playing God. And when you play God, you would never know God. And so you got to stop playing God. You can't do that until you admit you're wrong for judging, for being angry, resentful, and evil.
And is this an internal forgiveness, or is this a forgiveness to them?
It happened within, but you got to go and face them and say, hey, I'm sorry for resenting you. I'm wrong. I realize now you can help yourself, that you did the best you could do, but you were screwed up. You had nothing. You had no love to give me. I'm wrong for resenting you. And if they say, oh, I'm sorry, son, or if they don't, if they try to blame you or blame your father or whatever, that's on them. You apologize for being angry. That's what forgiveness is to admit you're wrong for being angry. And God will forgive you and make you free. And you will never be angry again.
Right. And what about the other emotions?
They will all disappear because they are false identities that made a home in you. You do not create your own thoughts. You think you do, but you don't. You would never create a thought to tell you to jump off a bridge.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard your little promo. Tell me, so you don't believe you create a single thought that you have? Or nobody creates?
No one. You and all thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. You're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, and you're not your bodies. Those are false identities that you have identified with all of your life because no one told you not to, and you've been overreacting, giving them life. And when you forgive your mother, the spirit of truth is going to bring you out of the darkness of your thought and set you free by giving you a clear mind. You have never created a thought at all. That's why you can't tell me how you did it, because you're not doing it.
Sure. Do you experience positive emotions?
No such thing as positive. If you have positive emotions, you're setting yourself up for negative one. There's no such thing as positive or negative emotion. It says you believe that it is, and you make it so with your belief. So because if you think positive, now you got to work hard not to think negatively. And then you think negatively, and now you got to work hard to not to come back to positive. So you're up and down, and then you want to jump off a bridge again.
Sure. Now, Jesse, I want to know what happens inside your head on a day-to-day basis. Is it just general nothingness? Like, did someone else decide for you to start a podcast, and someone else decided, or God and the devil or spirits or whatever? That's who's deciding what you do and what videos you make and inviting me on the podcast. Like, surely you must have thoughts of your own.
I have none of my own. And opportunities just come, and I take advantage of the opportunity. And one lead to another and to another one to another one to another one. When you let go of thoughts and emotions, the way is made clear for you without you having to think about it. What do you think will happen to you if you stop thinking?
I think I think a lot of things would suffer. I think business would suffer tremendously if I stopped thinking.
Why do you say that?
Well, because I wouldn't try to come up with the next idea, the next thing to do, the next marketing avenue, the next product, the next video. I wouldn't think of any of it.
And where do you get the knowing or ideas to build your business? Where do those thoughts come from?
Well, I give myself the space to think. And then as I think they come, it comes from previous experiences. It comes from intuition. It comes from seeing what other people have done successfully.
Well, those practical thoughts of how to build a business and add to your business and all that, that's from God as well, because you don't have the know-how to think of how to build your business. And God created those practical thoughts so you can earn a living on earth. But you're not those thoughts. It's like what you do, but it's not who you are. Because when you are lifting weights and you put the weights down, you're done with the weight for them. And then when it's time to pick again, but you don't live by that. And so that's from God as well. But those thoughts about who you are and how you feel and what's right and what's good, and those emotional thoughts are straight out of hell. They are not yours, and they're not from God.
So explain to me then, let's say Jesse Peterson has no thoughts. He's just generally trying not to say, okay, cool, and no emotion. No thought, no emotion. How do you identify identity?
By having no identity.
Oh, nobody has identity in the perfect world.
No, everybody have them, but they're false, and that's why they're so miserable, because they have identified with evil and call it them. They think, being deceived in their mind, they think that they are their emotions. They think that I'm a child of God, and I'm rich, and I'm successful, or I'm poor, or I'm racist, and I'm this, and I'm that. And they think it, and that's where the problem is. But if they never thought about those things, they would be free. They would have no identity. And if you want to be free, you got to let all those identities go. They are a problem in your life.
I really don't mind this line of thinking. I think it's actually quite interesting. But tell me about someone that you love. Who do you love the most in your life?
I love all people the same. There is no.
So, like, do you have children or?
Yes, I even have great grandchildren, but I love all people the same.
Right. Okay.
Even my enemy. And you know why I love my enemies in the same way I love my children?
Why?
Because I have no enemies.
Sure.
They may see me as their enemy, but I don't see them as my enemy. And,
right.
And so I love everybody the same.
Right. Because if through this line of logic, there's no way that you could love anyone more than anyone else, because everybody is nobody.
Either you love all or you love none.
Right. Right.
And what is love?
What is love? You're making me question a lot of things now, Jesse. What is love? Love is an overwhelming positive feeling towards somebody that you'd like to spend time with them. You'd like to get to know them better. You'd like to take care of them. You would like to facilitate happiness. But now, Jesse, now we're saying we can't facilitate happiness because happiness shouldn't exist.
Right. You don't want happiness. You want perfect peace. Happiness come and go, and you got to work at that. But with peace, you don't have to work at it. You just be. You just are.
So, Jesse, do you watch sports?
Not now. I used to sometimes basketball and track. I used to run track.
Because sports wouldn't matter. Like, it literally would not matter.
So what now?
If you watch sports, it wouldn't matter.
No.
Right? Because it's doing nothing for you.
And when I watch sports, I can enjoy sports, but I don't identify with it. I see it. It happened. It's fun to see. But when the game is over, that is over. I don't go home and cry because the sport is over. But let
would you cheer for your team during a game?
Absolutely.
You would?
Yeah.
Right.
I would enjoy it, but I wouldn't get a sense of identity from it.
Right. So any statement, and I hate these as well, my team won the game.
Yeah. Because anytime you say my team, you're saying that you own it. And when you own something, you try to control it. Or someone, you want them to be the way you are. You want them to think the way you think. That you want them to do what you want them to do. If they don't, you try to destroy them.
Mm.
Amazing, huh?
That's very interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
What would happen to you if you stopped thinking and never thought again?
Do you know, I have said this to close friends. I think I'm both the strongest person in the world and the person in the world with the most thoughts. I would love it. I think it's a prison, to be honest. I am so envious. I say this all the time. I'm so envious of the person who knows no better than going to a 9-to-5, punching out, having a beer after work, and they can just hang out, no worries. I think that's cool because that person just doesn't have the same they don't have the same stresses that they create for themselves.
So drop the thought, drop the anger. You can drop the thoughts and you can just live and just be without any identity at all. And you'll still be the strongest man in the world. And if you lose that title, no big deal. If you have that title, no big deal. But if you think it's going to bother you emotionally because if you lose it, you're going to feel less. And if you win, you're going to feel better. But then they're both fake because you got to try to hold on to one or the other. So drop your anger so you can drop thinking and just be without any identity and enjoy your life.
What's the point of trying?
What?
What's the point of trying to be successful in any way? Say, like taking a trip and experiencing the world and all of the things that people want from life. What's the purpose of that?
To bring misery, you're trying to run away from misery when you're trying to be successful and when you're trying to do this, and you do all those things and you still are miserable and you're just trying to run away. You're like a drug addict. You're trying to run away from misery within, and so all you're doing is adding to it because at the end of the road, you're still going to be miserable. Rather than overcoming it, you're running away from it.
And the tip to overcome it.
And you should never. I'm sorry?
This is the tip to run away from it, simply put, is forgive your parents.
Forgive your parents. And then so that the spirit of truth can bring. This is you. You see me?
Mm-hmm.
This is you. You, when your mother made you angry, you escaped into your imagination. You were innocent prior. And then you escaped. And you've been living in hell all the time, calling it you. Your emotions and thoughts and all this crap. When you forgive your mother, I'm sorry for resenting you, then God will bring you out of here, this darkness, and the darkness will disappear, and you shall be free. And you will have an amazing life. You'll still be the strongest man on the planet, but it wouldn't be who you are. It'll be what you do.
Yeah, but who you are is nobody.
Nobody.
That's actually quite a freeing thought, isn't it?
It is. It's an amazing thought. Not only is it a freeing thought, it's true. Hold on a minute, buddy. I'm going to let you go. Hold on a minute. Back in a moment for hate news, not the faint news.
I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this, and young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like 1,000. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.
a whole lot of mess going on in the world at Columbia University, in Japan and America with the trade deals and other stuff happening. And Jane's Addiction, the bandmates are suing each other. Remember that fight on stage the other year? It's a crazy mess. This is the end of hour two already of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Wednesday, the 23rd of July. Happy White History Month, AD 2025. There is one line open. You can call in right now, even during Hake News, Not Fake News. And JLP will be right back, wrapping up with a excellent guest here in just a few minutes, coming into Manhood Hour, the third hour of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show today. JesseLeePeterson.com/show if you need info on how to get the podcast, etc. And by the way, after the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, do, if you please, catch the Hake Report, if you so please, thehakereport.com, followed by American Anchor Baby at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 Central, 2 Eastern. And then at 2 p.m., an hour after after the Anchor Baby goes off, we have Punchy TV with the experts, going to be going live on Punchy TV on YouTube, all right, as well as Punchy.TV, I do believe. Nice. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports, Texas lawmakers. Oh, no, I already told you about that flooding. Maybe I'll tell you a little bit more. 135 people were killed in Central Texas, including more than 100 in Kerr County. Children's camps and RV parks sat on the banks of the Guadalupe River, which was known to be a flood risk. It's a shame. The Joint Select Committee's inquiry of the Texas lawmakers will include testimony from officials in charge of managing the rivers in the areas, as well as a head of Division of Emergency Management and members of the state police. The lawmakers expected to seek details about flood planning, disaster preparedness, and response and communications. Quote, we need to find out what happened. We need to know for us to go forward and make sure that we prevent the loss of life on the scale, said Jose Menendez, a Democrat state senator who will be on that so-called Joint Select Committee. And Columbia University, you know, one of those hoity-toity Ivy League schools, they have sanctioned more than 70 students for participating in a so-called pro-Palestinian demonstrations, not just one, multiple apparently, on campus. According to a source familiar with the disciplinary action, about 80% of those students received suspensions, expulsions, or degree revoked. Wow. The punishments were announced as the school works behind the scenes to get the Trump administration to restore federal funding. Wow. Earlier this month, Commie Nonsense reported that Columbia was on the verge of striking a deal that would require it to pay the school to pay a multi-million dollar settlement, implement changes to their DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, communist buzzwords, policies, boost transparency in hiring and admission efforts, and take other steps to improve security for Jewish students. In return, the university would regain access to over $400 million in federal funding that the Trump administration had stripped away earlier this year. Wow. After months of negotiation, our greatest president, Trump, announced a trade agreement in Japan with Japan on Tuesday night. The deal will set U.S. importers to pay 15% reciprocal tariffs on Japanese goods exported to the States or imported to the States. The 15% rate will also extend to Japanese auto and car parts, putting the country at an advantage over other major vehicle exporters, which have a 25% levy on automated on their stuff. Okay? Automotive sector exports since April. Additionally, Japan will invest $550 billion in the United States. Nice. Trump said the deal will create hundreds of thousands of jobs. Never been anything like it. He posted on Truth Social, his social media site. In Tokyo, Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba hailed the deal. Sweet. I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, Manhood Hour.
to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth, instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show already. Manhood Hour is coming up in the next hour. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, and it's a doozy. It's a mamma mia for those who want to know themselves. It's not for everybody. Most people love their misery. They love their hell. So it's not for you. It's for those men and women that want to overcome and to know themselves. You got to know yourself. How will you know when you are of truth? How will you know when you are of truth? Amazing question. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, we are heard around the world by everybody and they mama if you're black. Everybody and their mama if you're white. We are heard around the world from 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. So if you're busy working out and you can't really listen to the show live, you can podcast, but you can listen on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. I held my guest over just for a minute, and I appreciate him staying there. I want to just wind this conversation down. I'm talking to the strongest man in the whole wide world. What the? Who would have thought? Mitchell Hooper. And Mitchell is a Canadian strongman. Back in 2023, he became the first Canadian to win World Strongest Man. He's also won the Arnold Classic three times, 2023 through 2025. And he is the only man to hold all four major strongman titles since. What the? And I'm talking to him. Amazing. So, Mitchell, what will happen if you stop being ambitious?
Positive and negative, I believe. You know, the positives are that you'd have a lot less pressure. You'd have a lot more free time to do other things, I suppose, as well. I think the downside is it would create a level of instability in being able to afford the life you want to live.
Really? So you think that if you stop being ambitious, that you would have the life you want to live?
I believe I'd be less successful in the traditional sense.
Really? I want you to know, and we're going to get to that in a minute, if you stop being ambitious, you will have an amazing life. If you stop trying to succeed in life, you can never fail. What do you think about that?
What's an amazing life to you?
To not to be ambitious, to not try to win, to win.
I suppose if we talk about pride as well, pride's another emotion that's false as well. Yeah.
Right. Because a prideful person, man or woman, is an evil person.
The question that I don't understand is, what is the point of trying to do anything if you're going to feel nothing about everything?
Because you are not created to get to do things to get an identity from. You are created to return to the Father and have an amazing life. And then the Father had given you the ability to do things, to become a stronghold man, to whatever, but you were never created to replace those, the true identity with the false identity. And that's what human beings, every human being you know, Mitchell, and everyone you've ever met are miserable. And you think that you're the only one that has a head full of thoughts. Everyone you know has the same problem. They're in their thoughts and emotions, and they think that they are their thoughts, and they think that they are the good emotion and the bad emotion. They don't know both are evil. And they have identified with that, and they're all miserable, and they're trying to overcome with people, places, and things, and you never will. You're never going to overcome until you drop it.
Why do you do what you do?
Because it was the opportunity was put there in front of me. I never planned to do what I do at all. It just happened. It came about.
So you just let whatever happens here and it just goes.
Absolutely. And it's right. More than I can imagine. Really. I just it's mind blowing to me. So,
yeah.
You got to drop your anger, Mitch, and you got to stop believing that those thoughts are yours and that you create them. You don't. You would never create a thought that would tell you to hurt yourself, Mitchell. You would never create a thought to make you feel good or bad. You would never do that to yourself. You would never be an ambitious person. And it's because there's no end to ambition. You can never get enough of it. And you would never do it. You've been taught wrong about that. And so you've been taught wrong, and you're never going to be able to live up to what you've been taught. You got to drop everything, all your little morals and your little values and your little ideas. You got to drop them, and then you will have a perfect life.
Morals, values, ideas, drop it all.
Yeah, you've never been able to live up to them anyway. Why hold on to something that you have never been able to live up to? So it must not work. Have you noticed you're not able to?
you can't argue with that, I suppose. Yeah, interesting. It's baffling to me. It flips everything that I've believed on its head a bit. I'm open to more thought, and I see your points to it being a more freeing perspective of how to live your life because you don't put so much pressure and energy behind things. The whole objective of accomplishing things, it just doesn't matter in your opinion.
It's all the ego and every loser trying to accomplish things. And all the few men and women just be. They're not in competition with anyone. Yeah, they do certain things. They don't fight with anyone. They lay their weapons down and they're just living their lives.
So if you were to give your best practical advice, forgive your parents, sure. Yeah. But surely there has to be some checks and balances on how to know if you're not living up, that might be the wrong word, but living down maybe, not expecting much of yourself and not reacting with emotion and not bestowing upon other people the ability to invoke emotion. What are daily practices or daily checks that you could have, or maybe not daily, but practices and checks you could have?
You got to stay present rather than limiting your head thinking about the past or the future or what you've done or not done. If you can stay present, always right here, right now, rather than living in this illusion of past and future, it worked by itself. It will work on your behalf. But you go unconscious and you're not present with life because you're living in an illusion of something that has already happened and doesn't exist anymore except in your mind. And in your mind, you think it's real. You think it's still, you could have done something 20 years ago and the thought will remind you of it, and you'll feel the pain from it as though it happened today.
Yeah.
But if you weren't into thoughts, yesterday is dead and gone, and all you have is right now, and your life would just work by itself. It doesn't need your help. As a matter of fact, the more you try to help it, the worse it gets.
Mm. So what do you, how do you fold in the realities of life with that of, you know, if I take all of your advice and go, okay, here's the simplest way to implement it. You just chill out. You don't have to do much of anything. You just go with the flow. How do you lump that in with having obligations, having business to run, having bills to pay, having people to support? How do you bear that responsibility?
You would just naturally get up and do what you need to do. You don't need to be angry or happy to do that. You get up and go to work. You pay your bills and you'll be fine.
You just don't really, you just think about it less is your point.
You don't live by it. You don't get an identity from it.
Yeah.
You just do what you got to do and just be fine with whatever it is.
Yeah. Last question I have for you. Do you believe someone who's non-religious can live a good life?
I know someone that non-religious can have a perfect life. Religious people do not have a good life.
Generally speaking, I
religious
agree.
People are as miserable as you are. They live in their head.
Sure.
They live in their thoughts. They're very emotional. They judge. They have fear. They're lonely. They're evil at heart. Their marriages don't work. Their lives don't work. They screw up. They do the same thing you do. They just have this thing called religion that they have identified with, but they're not a free people.
Mm.
They have no love. They have the same thing you have.
Yeah.
They live in their imagination. They are angry. You, the real you, of whom you don't know now, you've forgotten about him. If you do what I'm telling you, suggesting, you'll remember who you are. The real you have never done wrong. The real you have never done good. The real you is not guilty or innocent. The real you is not a saint nor a sinner. The real you is not being judged by God at all because he knows you have never done anything wrong. The real you is free. This fake you that lives in the prisons of your imagination with all these ambitions and goals and blah, 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 you're living in a prison of your own thoughts. And you are not your thoughts. You don't create those thoughts. Those thoughts are not from God. They are straight out of hell, evil. And that's why you're miserable. You have accepted that as you, and you and evil are one because you have agreed with it.
So this makes me think that, you know, human beings, we've developed to the point where we can communicate and we can understand each other and we have emotions and all that. It makes me think of, say, a squirrel. Right. A squirrel just goes and gets the food that they need to get. They don't really think about much. They're not really doing good or bad. No one thinks they're doing good or bad. They're just getting up. And I don't think they have a thought about getting a nut or whatever. Is that a reasonable comparison?
100%.
Right. Right.
100%.
It's almost like we've evolved a few steps too far to allow ourselves to be happy.
You're going straight into hell. And you were taught to go into hell as a kid when you were born. Mm-hmm. The first thing that your parents did was start to teach you. You got to go to school. You got to be nice. You got to do this. You got to get an education. You got to be somebody. You got to get married, have children. You got to get a big house, or you got to live in a certain area. They taught you wrong, and they drove you right into hell. Had they not taught you, but been an example, you would have a perfect life right now because you already knew the truth in you. But they stopped that from growing or discovering it by starting teaching you in an intellectual way. And they took you out of heaven and put you into hell.
So when you teach your kids as a father, and when you taught them growing up, you taught them what? To not have emotion as best as they can, to not have an identity, to just go be?
I encourage them to speak up, but don't be angry. Drop the anger because you become like what you hate and you're controlled by evil. So learn to, especially with my great grandkids, learn to speak up, but don't be angry, and they're doing fine.
Simple. That's simple.
Yeah.
For kids, don't be angry.
Right. And my son was mad at me for a while because you know how black people, we like to make babies out of wedlock. And so I made my son out of wedlock. And his mother did exactly what your mother done to you, turned him away from me, fought to keep me away from him. And then when he returned, when he became 18, he came to live with me, and he was ticked because he thought I didn't love him. He thought I let his mother lie to him. And then so for a long time, he was mad. But when I said to him, you know what? I tried to get with your son. I love you. Your mother lied to you. And I showed him proof. And then when he started dating, he realized he was dating his mother. And it made him really look at himself, and he had to go and forgive his mother, and his life changed as well.
Right.
And now he and I are tight, too tight, to be honest.
Right. That's good. So when you accept, when I see you on all of these conservative podcasts, you're not doing it because you have any mission to spread any message or nothing like that. You're just doing it because the opportunity came to you. They ask you what you believe, and you just say it and move on with your
life. That's it. That's all I do. And if people, and I don't even need people to agree with it or disagree. I'm just saying what I say, and then I move on to the next opportunity. And I don't think about how people feel about it or what they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's on them.
Yeah.
I'm not in competition with anyone. I sleep like a virgin at night, and I'm fine. I have perfect peace. And you can have it, too, if you drop the anger.
Well, I will. I'll work to do that.
And are you a Christian? I didn't even ask that.
No, I'm non-denominational.
You're non-denominational?
I don't believe in anything.
Oh, you don't. So no. Do you believe in God?
No.
And why not?
I don't see evidence to believe in anything.
Meaning what?
If there was a God, and this is probably an unpopular opinion with the audience of the show, but if there was a God, to me, there would be things in the world that can't be explained by science. There would be some sort of greater evidence that there is a God.
Like what evidence do you need to see? Like what, for example?
Okay, let's say... if there was an occurrence on the planet that couldn't be explained through science, through biology, there was a true miracle, let's say, a true Virgin Mary, an event where, I don't know, the second coming, if you will, those types of things. I feel like everything can be explained by science and by the rules that we've identified. And so it's never made sense to me.
Amazing. Do you believe there's a hell?
No.
You don't. So there's no heaven nor hell?
In my opinion, no.
Amazing. Do you know that you've been living in hell all your life?
It's felt like that at times.
So there is a hell, but it's inside of you.
I think I would I've previously said you can create it for yourself, but I suppose it's created for you and bestowed upon you just by your imagination.
Absolutely. And so there's a heaven inside of you as well. It's just that you've been living in hell all your life, and you don't recognize the heaven, and you're not going to recognize the heaven until you go through the hell. In order to get to heaven, you got to go through hell. You got to overcome this false self. Your thoughts and your feelings. You got to be aware of them. Let me ask, some of the things that I have said, do they make sense?
Most all the things you've said have made sense, yeah.
And how do you think they make sense to you? How did that make sense to you?
Well, the not having a thought to yourself makes a lot of sense to me. Not creating your own thought makes sense because when you're challenged in how did you create anything, it's impossible to explain. So saying that it's unexplainable, it does make sense. The tying less emotion behind objectives, I think it makes a lot of sense, but I've never considered that tying positive emotions to things is also incorrect behavior.
Yeah, it is.
In terms of creating the internal hell for yourself, I absolutely believe that is something that a lot of people do. And if you're creating all of these imaginary circumstances in your head, it does make sense to say that, well, if you let all of those go, you will feel much better.
The reason that what I've said made sense to you, it was God who allowed you to see that what I was saying is true. I didn't make you see that. You didn't make yourself see it. It was God who allowed you to see it because you want the truth. You've suffered a lot. You do want freedom. You want truth. And so he has allowed you to see that he does exist. You didn't see that on your own, and I didn't make you see it. No human being can make you see anything, and no evil can make you see good, because in evil there is no good. It's only in God. And so that's why you see, and it makes sense. The truth is allowing you to see that.
So if I was right, if I didn't jump all the way to say, okay, now I'm a religious person, you could sort of categorize just like a bad aura, good aura, to good thoughts and bad thoughts. But aura is just an imaginary thing in the first place.
Repeat that.
If I wasn't ready to say, right, okay, this is the God and the devil, that's a bigger leap for me to make. But I think I can implement the same practice by just saying, right, here is a good aura and a bad aura of thoughts, of things that have come to me. But regardless, they're imagination. They're not real. And take them, let them go, move on.
There are no such thing as good thoughts. All thoughts are bad. All thoughts are evil. Because the sooner you have a good one, now you're trying to hold on to that good one, because in a few minutes, you're going to have a bad one. And as soon as you have a bad one, now you're trying to create a good one, and you're up and down. So all thoughts are evil. No such thing as a good thought.
Right. But the practical thoughts are okay to you.
Right, because like when you're building a house, when you put the nail into the house, the last nail, you're done with building. You're done with the hammer. You don't have to think about that. Yeah. Now you live in the house. And you don't have to think about living in the house. You just live there. Practical thoughts. But all these psychological and emotional thoughts are illusions. This thing about God, you were saying something about God and science and all that, right?
Yeah.
Those are just ideas. What would happen if you let go of those ideas about God and what you believe about God and science? Why don't you let those ideas go too? Because they're just ideas.
Well, I don't believe science is ideas. It's laws of the world that allow you to predict one thing to the next.
But why do you need to think of those things?
Professionally, I need to think of them in a way to be able to be strong and teach other people to be strong.
But you're not teaching anyone to be strong, and you're not strong. It has not worked for you. Why not let those ideas about God, the science, the fire, God and the science and all that, why not let that go and just be free?
Well, I mean strong in a physical sense to do my profession.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. Practice, that's fine.
Yeah. I need some pragmatic understandings of how the world generally works, or at least of how the body generally works. Maybe not the world, but I need my thinking to be founded in that,
right,
for me to be able to.
But don't identify with it. You're not your body, so don't. You're right, make the body work, but you're not your body. So if the body is not working, you'll still be fine. But if you think you're your body, and then your body fall apart, then you're going to fall apart because you think you're your body. Amazing.
So could you be handicapped tomorrow and feel nothing about it?
I don't know. I would have to wait and see. You should always have a wait and see attitude about all things and not be double-minded. Don't ever do what if. What if? Just go with the now, with the opportunity, and never be double-minded. What if it doesn't work? What if this happened to me? I don't know. I would have to be in that situation.
It's funny because you remove everything powerful, and it's the most powerful statements.
Because those things are not powerful at all. They're deceiving. They're destructive. You should never do a what if. What if this doesn't work? Or what if that doesn't work? For example, your wife, let's say that your wife wake up one day 30 years later and she decide, I don't want to be with you anymore, Mitchell. I'm done. And then she leave, whether with another man or not. How would you feel about that?
Yeah, it would be horrible.
Why?
Well, in your theory, I mean, I guess you say wait and see, wouldn't you?
Why?
Maybe at that time, it's a good thing.
Why would it be horrible?
The life that you envisioned isn't the life that you're going to have.
That's why it'd be horrible?
I think so. And because that person wouldn't be there anymore, I think you'd be lonely. I think,
And who would be lonely?
In that hypothetical, I think I would be lonely.
And who are you?
Nothing.
So how can you?
Nobody.
So how can you be lonely then?
Yeah, I don't know. You don't yearn for anyone's company.
Why would I need that? Why would I yearn for something less silly? Why can't I? Why can't I be at perfect peace with me?
Yeah.
Why can't I just be whole? And so if people come into my life, nice. If they leave, nice. If they want to hang out, fine. If they don't, fine. Your wife decided, 30 years later, I'm leaving, fine. Goodbye. I wish you well. Because you're whole and your life, your peace is not coming from her. Something's wrong with you that you would feel anything if she should leave. You're supposed to be whole, one person, not based on anything outside of you at all or in your imagination. And then if you felt that way, if she would leave, it's so wrong with you.
Could you feel completely pleasant if you were sat on a chair in a white room for a day?
About what?
If you were just sat on a chair in a just blank white room and you sat on that chair for a day.
I would have perfect peace.
You'd feel nothing.
Nothing.
Right. How did you learn to become this way?
By getting to know myself.
But you are nobody.
Right. But before that, I thought I was somebody. I thought I was my thoughts. I thought I was my emotions. I thought I was my fears. I thought I was my up and down. I thought I was black. I thought the world was against me. But they were all lies. And I now realize that I am the head of my own world. Everything that happens in my world, nobody can affect my world at all. Come and go, be friends or not. Because all those identities I had to let go of and be free.
Right. And once you learned that, that's when you got to...
Once I discovered that, the moment you start to see that you're none of these things and you stop calling yourself anything, and those things will fall away and you will be free. And you'll enjoy your wife. If she's there, fine. If she's not, fine. And
if someone had you in a conversation, they just met you, and they said, tell me about yourself. You said, there's nothing to say.
Right.
Makes for bad conversation. Then you're like, well, I do this. I'll tell you what I do.
Right. If they ask me what I do, I tell you the kind of work I do. Absolutely. But I'm not my work. It's just what I do to earn a living.
Yeah.
So I got to ask, because of time, what is a man?
A man is someone with a penis.
What? That's a male. That's a male, but what is a man?
Right. I don't think they're disconnected, but okay, what is a man in terms of, like, emotion?
No, what is a man?
Oh, you see, the conversation started, and I thought you were out of your head with these questions, but now I know that there's some sort of answer to them. I've always thought, I'll give you the answer that I've always given.
Okay, hold that thought. Let me hang up. Hold on 1 minute, man. When I come back, we're going to end this. I got to go. Hold on. I'll be right back. Back in a moment, folks. Anytime you have situations happening in your life, always be still. Don't overreact. Most of the people that I know, they say, oh, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm an observer. And as soon as something don't go their way, they get mad. I'm like, what the? If you overreact, folks, remember to do that. Don't overreact. And when you get mad, it's your problem. It ain't your wife's problem, your husband's problem, your neighbor, your friend, your preacher, your teacher. It's your problem. Why do you think you tick? It didn't go your way or the way you think it should go. Don't have a way you think it should go. Let life just happen. Thoughts made you think that life should go the way you want it to go. And if it doesn't, if someone don't do or say or act the way you think they should act, you hate them. And then you blame them for being mad. It's the darndest thing I ever seen, but it's amazing to see it. So relax. Okay, folks, welcome back. Number one, the Hake Report is coming up right after my show. The Hake, H-A-K-E, Report. The Hake Report is coming up from 9 to 11. He white, the white guy with the good hair, on fire. And then after that, the American Anchor, baby. Energy given to him by God. Other than Trump. The American Anchor Baby has the rest of the energy from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. And then after that, Punchy TV, a live, right? It's live today, right? Live episode of Punchy TV at 2 p.m. Don't forget to check it out, Punchy TV. I forgot to do Manhood Hour. I didn't realize this was the last hour of the show. What? I'm thinking we're in the second hour, we're in the third hour, and every Wednesday, third hour, it is Manhood Hour. What is a man? What is a man?
It's an adult man. Human male.
Manhood. Hillary or President Trump?
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Beta! Beta male. Yo, yikes. A man is a male who turned to man. Live right, be right, and lead the way.
Okay, baby.
Good morning.
How did you sleep?
Okay.
You're okay with the sausage and the the bacon?
Mm-hmm.
Motherly love.
How many waffles are you going to want?
Four.
Four? Okay. Okay, go ahead and get a syrup. Get your fork. How about some donut?
Mm-hmm.
A mother's love is unconditional.
You want to put the butter yourself or you want me to do it?
You can do it.
But a mother's love is forever.
A mother's love will kill you, the cat, the dog, and the paint on the house. You got to forgive your mothers. All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. Stop believing thoughts and just be, all right? I got to wind down with Mitchell here. Amazing conversation. The strongest man in the world. Mitchell, so what is a man?
And I think still, it's someone who's
I didn't hear you. Your mic was off for a minute.
Oh, you with me?
I can hear you now, yes. Okay. What is a man?
I believe, and I've always believed, that it's someone who's able to control their emotions, for one. And for two, I love what Jordan Peterson says. It's someone with the capacity to be able to cause harm to others, but the choice not.
Is it normal or abnormal for men to be emotional?
I think everyone's emotional.
No, is it normal or abnormal for a man to be emotional?
Normal as in normal in relation to everyone you see, or normal as in as a species?
Is it normal or abnormal for a man to be emotional?
All right. No clarification. We are going to go with, based on our conversation, I have to say it's abnormal.
Absolutely. Any man that's emotional is a woman. He has his mother. Have you noticed that when men are angry, they act just like a woman? They yell, they scream, they take it personal. They don't point the right way. They're acting just like a woman. That's because they become like their mothers, and that's why they have to forgive their mothers So their mother spirit will be taken away from them, and then they will return to manhood. And men lead the way. An angry man cannot lead the way. The angry man is not of the light. He's of darkness. He's just like a woman. So that's why you must overcome that if you want to be free by forgiving.
But from your perspective, a good man at perfect peace and a good woman at perfect peace would be the same.
Absolutely. A woman who has overcome being a female and has become a woman, and a man who has overcome being a male and become a man will have perfect peace. But you got to work on it. You got to drop the anger. You got to forgive your mother. All women, too, because women are just like their mothers. They're angry. They carry on. They treat their families in the same way that they were treated. They become like what they hate. And men hate women because they hate their mothers, and they're only attracted to mama. And so when they get with the woman, they act like a little boy. The wife become the mother, and he become the child. And it repeats itself over and over. But if you had you forgiven, you would be no longer be attracted to that spirit of the mother spirit. You'll be fine. And so I got to tell you this. If you want to be free, and you can, you got to forgive your mother. Don't ask for forgiveness. You forgive them, and God will forgive you. And then he will take away the spirit of your mother and forgive your earthly father for not protecting you. He couldn't handle your mother, just like you can't handle women. Angry men don't know how to deal with women because the woman is their god. Because as long as you're angry at mother, you're going to make the woman your god, and you can't handle God. And that's why when God leaves or God doesn't do right, you become emotional about it. And so, but once you forgive mama, the father will forgive you, and the woman would never be your god. God would be your god. So you got to forgive your mother and your father, because if you resent your earthly father, there's no way you're going to love what's right. You got to forgive your earthly father. And do the silent prayer. You may not be aware of it, but I want you to go to rebuildingtheman.com/silent prayer. I have them send it to you. rebuildingtheman.com/silent prayer. And I encourage you to do that so the real you can become aware of the not you. You're not your thoughts. You're not your feelings. You're not your body. You're not your job. You're not a daddy. You're not none of those things. It's what you do, but it's not who you are. Any questions about any of those things?
No, man. You've turned a lot on its head. Absolutely.
And it's in you to know that. That's why it makes sense. And so forget about God. Don't think about God or anybody. You just what you overcome these thoughts. You still be the strongest man. Go out there and do the best you can, but don't compare and don't compete. Just do your best, and you cannot lose.
Right. You'll I like that.
Amazing. Well,
thank you very much. It's eye-opening. I've seen a lot of your funny stuff, but I didn't know what I was in for today.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Tell the folks again how to get to your website or whatever you want to give out.
Yeah, my YouTube would be great. Mitchell Hooper, I'm on there posting videos every day, exercise-related stuff. I'm on Instagram as well, and MitchellHooperStrongman.com gives a bit more information about me.
Mitch, I had no idea that we would be talking for this long. I was thinking maybe 30 minutes or so. I had no idea. But it's an honor to meet you and talk to you.
Likewise. Thanks, Jesse.
If you ever have any questions, you know how to get me.
Yes, sir.
Amazing. Happy White History Month, Mitch.
Same to you. Thank you.
Are you happy that Canada will become the 51st state of America?
I'm less against it than the vast majority of people. I think it would do us favors.
Right on. Amazing.
You think Brexit and how bad that was for the UK. Well, we could just flip that on its head and we join you, and theoretically things would get a lot better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Anchor Baby, my engineer here and the host of the American Anchor Baby show, Mitchell, is from Canada. What part of Canada are you in?
Right. I'm close to Toronto, an hour's drive north.
And where do you live? Where are you from, Nick?
Yeah, same. GTA, Toronto.
Where specifically?
Grew up in Mississauga and Toronto.
Yeah, right. I'm up in Barrie.
Oh, okay.
So you're familiar with Mississauga?
I'm from Barrie. It's maybe 45 minutes north of Mississauga.
Oh, amazing. Thank you, Mitchell. It was fun.
Yeah. Likewise. Thanks for that, Jesse. I'm always welcome to being challenged, and you challenge a lot.
Right on. Take care, buddy. Happy White History Month.
Cheers.
All right. Amazing. And by the way, folks, the treasure chest is open on D-Live and stretch off on pure.net. What the? Oh, God. I had no idea it was going to go that long, folks. Really. I'm thinking we were in the second hour and we are in the third hour. Amazing. Let me go to our first-time caller, Alex, out of Georgia. Georgia, on my mind. Alex, you're on the air.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey,
good
Alex.
Good to hear your voice, man. You can hear me okay?
I can.
Awesome. You feeling good?
I'm feeling good from my head to my toe. Boom, 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 boom. I got a new attitude.
Amazing.
What, are you on a speaker or something?
No. I thought you said you could hear me all right.
I can't hear you, but it still sounds like you're on Bluetooth or something.
Oh, okay. Let me try this. Maybe it'll be better. Hold on.
Alan, they're telling me it's fine, so go ahead.
Oh, they're saying it's fine. Yeah, man. I've been listening and watching your stuff quite a bit of it over the last, I don't know, probably two. I don't know how long it's been. Probably, I don't know. Time is kind of strange, you know.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of stuff about you know, forgiving the parents, and you know, and then living in the present and having perfect peace. And I just wanted to, you know, give you a call and say, hey, brother, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate everything you do, and it's really good stuff, man. And you know, perfect peace is quite something, you know.
You know what's amazing to me, and you're welcome. But you know what amazing that human beings don't believe that they can have perfect peace. That is mind blowing to me.
Right. I mean, well, you know, I think you said you didn't have perfect peace when you were younger, right? When you were whatever 20, 30 years ago, right?
Right.
But I mean, if I told you then, you know, if we met and I told you when you didn't have perfect peace that you can have perfect peace, it would have sounded like gobbledygook to you, right?
Well, I've always known that it was possible because as a kid, I remember reading in the Bible or hearing the older people talk about it, but I just didn't know how to get it. I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know how to get it. And I had heard that when you are one with truth, when you're one with God, you will have peace. And then I knew that I didn't have peace, so I knew I wasn't with God, right? And then
I knew
it was possible, but I just didn't know how to arrive at it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's been definitely a long. Well, I mean, I don't know who knows how long it's been for me, but yeah. It's amazing, as you say. You know?
Amazing.
Amazing. Yeah, man. So I wanted to ask you, I mean, like, so you believe in God, right? So God, like Jesus Christ, God, right?
No, I don't believe in them.
Well, you know that God exists, yes?
I know him, but I don't believe in him.
Well, okay, so you know God because once you achieve perfect peace, now you're basically allowing God to flow through you, correct?
Well, that's the only way that you can have it. He has to give it to you. That's why it's important to get to know yourself so you can to know who you're not. And once you know who you're not, you will start to remember who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I experienced a little while ago, man. And I think, you know, you've been a great help on that journey, you know, because you're speaking a lot of truth, and you know, it made a big impact in my life, and you know, I forgave my parents and so forth, and it's been, as you say, amazing.
Amazing.
You know? Amazing.
When you stay with it it only get clearer, it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer.
Oh, I know. I'm experiencing it, to be honest with you, on a daily basis as of late. What do you think? What are your? Well, I guess you don't have thoughts. So, what does God tell you about the Bible? Or
he doesn't tell me anything about it.
Okay. Well, so I mean, like, do you? I think you're a preacher or something like that, right? So I mean,
something
like that, right? So I mean, do you go by the Bible, like, or do you think the Bible has been, like, you know, bastardized by human beings and it's all false?
Oh, I
like,
see. The Bible, you should read the Bible. There's nothing wrong with reading the Bible, but the Bible is just a roadmap back to the kingdom of heaven within. The Bible tells you how to find what you're looking for by telling you to look within. The kingdom of heaven is within, and tell you what happens if you don't do that. But the problem is the people have taken the Bible and they have made it, they have turned the Bible into God. They think that the Bible is the Word of God, and they have stopped there, and so they only have the intellect about God, but they don't know God.
Right. I'm totally with you. But so what I was asking is, do you think, like, a lot of the stuff in the Bible is God's word? So it's, you know, truth.
Well, there are some things in the Bible that men have written, even though the Bible is so over and over again, it's so messed up now. But those men who wrote letters, they were inspired by the truth. You know how you can see the truth now?
Yeah.
That's what those guys had back then, too. They were able to see the truth, so they wrote it down on paper.
No, I get you, right? They did what they didn't do it right. God did, but they had to make some effort to be able to be the conduit for God to be, I guess, flowing through them, like as you did. You probably made some efforts, right? And then it just happened, right? So I was just wondering, like, as far as this, like, verse, I think it's Ephesians 2:10, and I'm by no means, I haven't read the Bible, I've just read some verses here and there. For Ephesians 2:10, it states, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you think that was coming from God, or do you think that's just, some dude just kind of came up with it and put it in there?
No, whoever wrote that was inspired to know that. They didn't know on their
own.
But
I mean, I just pulled it up just randomly while I was on hold with you, you know, with on your channel here for like an hour and 40 minutes. But you think that's does your, I guess, I don't know what you call it, does, you know, the God within you or whatever, however you want to word it, is that true, you think? God prepared advanced works for us to do, good works?
I don't know what you mean by advanced and good work. I don't understand your question. What is he saying?
Oh, okay. Let me repeat it for the sake of time.
Because
Ephesians 2:10 states, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do God's works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Do you think God prepared for us works for us to do in advance?
And what do you mean by works?
I'm going to defer to you as the authority on truth because, you know, you helped me, so.
I don't know.
I'm just reading a Bible verse.
Yeah, I don't.
Good works. I don't know what good works is, whatever God is telling you to do.
Well, because of time, and we're about to run out of time, I want to get some super chats and everything. I know that when you overcome evil, I know that the truth will work through you, and everything you do will be of good because you will be coming from good. And,
right. No, I agree with you completely. Yeah. So my question then my question is what do you think about, or I don't know if you're allowed to say this word on YouTube, but like child sexual abuse, is that good or bad according to God?
I don't agree with it or disagree with it. I have no opinion.
No, but I mean, you have God inside you and you've been a clear vessel and you've been spreading the word of God, correct? Because you're doing good works as God is telling you. So is child rape good or bad in your opinion?
I neither agree nor disagree with it.
Okay, so if you and me are walking down the street, we're drinking our coffee or whatever it is that we drink, right? And we're shooting the stuff, shooting the, you know, whatever. I can't say bad words, right? We're just talking, you and me, right? And you see, you know, I don't know, three men raping a child. I mean, I understand you don't care if it's good or bad, right? It's just like something that's happening. I think it's bad because that's what God is telling me, unless it's Satan.
So God is telling you it's bad?
Yeah. God is telling me it's not a thing that we should just walk by and continue drinking our coffee. Do you think we should continue drinking our coffee and walk by?
I will have to be in that situation to see what to do about it, so I don't know. But let me tell you this, Alan. I got to run. Yeah. Will you call me back on Thursday? Is tomorrow, by the way.
Sure. No.
Thursday is Bible Thumping Thursday. And so
Bible Thumping Thursday?
Yeah,
man. I'll call you back. I'll call you back on Thursday. I've got a few conference calls. But yeah, brother. Yeah.
And remind
God's blessings upon you, man.
All right. Remind you that when you call, let them know I asked you to call back. That way I can get right to your call, right?
Yeah, brother, I appreciate it.
Right,
God's
buddy.
Blessings to you and your team, and thanks for doing what you do, brother.
All right, you too. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
Super chat.
Pastor Chatelet over on pill.net. July just feels white.
Happy White History Month.
What would have happened if that black had obeyed the officer's orders?
I rest my case. He's talking about yesterday we played the scene where this guy was, according to the report, got stopped by the cops, and he just went off, and he ended up getting punched. Amazing. Thank you.
Chris bought a coffee. I appreciate your work. Thank you for the impactful way that you have utilized what God has given you. God bless you always.
Thank you, and thank you for your support, and stay with it.
Ricardo, is it important to acknowledge people we come across in public? And why does the ego make me feel like I'm not a good person when I don't acknowledge everyone, when I'm just trying to go about my day?
You've been taught to be that way. You got to be unlearned, let it go, and just do what's in the present. Do what's in the moment. Thank you.
Five coffees from someone. Hi, Jesse. I got the evil woman blues. Shout out to Aretha Franklin.
Lady sing the blues. She got them bad. The blues ain't nothing but a pain in your heart when you got a bad start. Amazing. Thank you.
I don't think that's Aretha Franklin there.
No.
Daniel.
Say her soul, rest in peace, by the way, Aretha.
Yeah.
Both of the ladies.
Mm-hmm. I never understood what Jesus meant by you don't love the person, you hate them. Oh, what Jesse meant by you don't love the person, you hate them, that's why you can't let go. But now I completely see and understand.
Right on. Stay with it.
Anthony says, hey, Jesse and Hake, what's up with these ads? Keep popping up on the live. It's never happened before.
Thank you. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for the support.
Yeah.
Eric, 10 coffees in response to the BQ.
How will you know when you are of truth?
The truth will appear when my identities disappear. I know I'm of truth when I live a no-thinking life, an acceptance of what is, an observance of the life. The lie, I mean.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll put my 2 cents in on Sunday.
And Tom answers it. I'll know I'm of truth when I'm having some mocha cafe mocha with Jesus and God, looking at the world saying, what the?
And even better, we have Punchy's Coffee. Check out my own coffee now, Punchy's Coffee, rebuildingtheman.com/shop. No,
JesseLeePeterson.shop.
JesseLeePeterson.shop.
555555565. Does God wonder?
I wonder if he does. Thank you.
Thank you, Games for Rec, CEO of Based, Greenwall, Wolf336, and the rest of the supporters yesterday on the DLive crew. Ron K. bought 5 coffees. Hello, Jesse and Hake and American Anchor, baby.
Thank you all over there on DLive. And hello, and thank you.
9 coffees from someone overnight. I wanted to let you people know this is not a game. If you've seen what I've seen, it's either heaven or hell. I was trapped in my imagination, tormented by the devil himself. I went insane. God saved me. And he has a story. Heaven is real. And you'll get to where you can't wait to die the physical death because you know where you are going, says someone.
Amazing.
And he continues on with many more messages in his 9 coffees. He has no enemies. And he used to be on, doesn't take drugs or alcohol, but bipolar meds.
Amazing.
And because of the stuff that he's been through at 29 years old.
Well, stay with us, stay with it. Just stay with us, stay present.
He says, thank you for the silent prayer. Sleep doesn't matter to me, and no fear of death.
Amazing. Right
thank on. You, someone, for your 9 coffees.
Right on. Thank you.
Curly bought over on Cash App for the fund drive. Thank you, Curly.
Check out our fund drive, their fundway drive. Go to rebuildingaman.com/donate. We got to raise $50,000. Help us to get there. We have a challenge grant. They say if we raise $50,000, they'll give us whatever we raise. Thank you.
Mike Young says, rest in peace, Ozzy Osbourne.
May his soul rest in peace. Poor Ozzy.
Yeah. 76. Gone too soon.
Gone too soon.
Blunt Wit says, do what you can, do what you got, where you're at. Another dead guy, happy hump day, he says. It's Wednesday.
Amazing.
Getting over the hump.
Thank you very much. I got to stop there.
We'll read the rest later, guys. Stop. Thank y'all.
Spencer from Arizona. Arkansas. And Las Vegas is Jarrett from Las Vegas. Mike, a first-time call out of Arkansas. Oh, out of Alaska. Mike, out of Alaska, first-time caller. Adriana from Texas. Zach, out of Tennessee. I am so outside, Lord. What?
Should we give them priority tomorrow?
Yeah. Call me tomorrow, you get priority. Right?
Nice.
Amazing. Stay with it. Thank you for helping us with the Chalice Grant, rebuildingaman.com/donate. And stay with it, folks. Bye. Hate coming now. That's the American Anchor Baby. Bye. God's kingdom comes.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
Check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bond, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com/stores, and get Punchy's Coffee.